books.
We were so good at starting for like 35 episodes. 30 like really four good. Episodes. We nailed the fucking intro.
You know, we're in a new environment.
It's still gotten real weird.
It's gotten a little bit weirder. I don't have to press record and say, okay, go.
So, that's true. It's been recording for we don't know how long.
Forever. Since we walked in here. No, that's
I
not.
Actually don't know what the time means. It's still doing its weird county thing. Whatever.
I think we forget about that.
I think so too. We'll just take out any announcements that we need to take out.
Yeah, no, but it's the number on the right. Do you know what?
Yeah, but it says like
51, 52.
I get that, but why does it have a one? We haven't been recording for an hour.
No, that's 1 minute.
No, two is the minute. Three is the, it's now 3 minutes and 1 second, 2 seconds, 4 seconds.
Is there a one in front of, is it 103?
Yes, it is.
Oh, then I don't know.
It would be hour, I would think, but
that is
obviously it has. Well, no, it doesn't matter. We need to move on. This cannot drag out. Johnny comes back in the room and we're still like, what the time? But I don't understand.
About the time.
What time is it? We didn't record, sorry. We got distracted.
By the clock. Oh my god. Squirrel. Squirrel.
Okay, so you're the bottom one, I think.
Hello, hello. I'm the bottom one. Am I on the bottom? Are you on the top?
Hi.
Yeah. Sometimes
look, that's me up there.
You like being on the top. It's all good. I do. And I like being on the bottom because I am lazy. So we're all
good. This is very appropriate.
It is. It works.
Okay. All right. Well, God, I wish I had water. Why aren't we allowed to drink in here? Okay. Dang. Everybody ready?
Yep. Everybody is ready.
All two of us. All right. Welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Kalina.
This is Saylet.
And we're happy to have you back for another episode of our podcast.
Yes, thank you for joining us. We are still at the library and still trying to get used to it, so we're always forgetting what we're doing.
It's real weird when you change everything that you do. You get into really a solid routine for 30-some episodes.
Yeah.
And then you go, fuck that. Throw it out the window.
Seriously, the hardest thing is not having a drink in here next to us.
So hard.
It's just, that's definitely.
All I want to do is drink wine.
Just, yeah.
Well, I want to drink wine, but also water.
Just a sip of water here. I'm dead serious about a fucking camel pack. What's he going to do to me? I mean, I know he's an officer and all. Hmm. He might arrest me.
He could.
But what
we could also just be permanently banned from the library.
That would make me sad because this is so much easier.
We like this place.
We do like this place.
It's really working out. Yeah. We can't drink, so.
Yep.
Guys, sorry.
I've got a quickie for you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, if your friends were to put you on a reality TV show, which one do you think it would be?
That would be so mean.
It would be so mean, but so cool.
Terrible. Ooh, what would they put me on? I don't even know that I know many of the reality TV shows.
Oh, really?
But I'll just know, I'll name one of the ones that I know.
Okay.
None of my friends would put me on a reality TV show. They all are smarter than that. They're my friends.
I can think of, and it doesn't have to be like reality. It could be like a contest show too.
Okay.
So like
Jeopardy.
Okay. Yeah.
I think
Jeopardy would work. Yeah. That would be the one.
What about you? What do you think we'd put you on?
Worst Cooks of America. Have you seen that show? Yes. That's the best fucking show. Because I'm like, yes, cashews and spaghettis, that's me. I would totally fucking do it.
So
I'd be on Worst Cooks of America.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
Yep. And I'd win. I'd fucking win that shit. But
yeah, because you're trainable.
Yeah, I am. I mean, if you don't leave me to my own accord while baking cookies.
Yeah, we'll turn your back for 1 minute and you're all of a sudden... You're like, what the fuck did you do?
What did she just
do? Put every ingredient in at once without stirring.
Nobody.
That's not how you make cookies.
You put the two cooks who know how to cook together and then say let on the other side of the kitchen with the, I don't know, what's it called? What's that mixer
Cuisinart.
Thing? Yeah. And all of the ingredients? I had instructions. Not the instructions. I had the ingredients. ingredients, not the instructions.
No, you didn't have instructions.
And
just,
I said,
just a list of ingredients. And you're like, okay, got that. All of it
solids,
in.
Eggs, flour, water, milk, wet, all dry, at once.
All at once. No mixing.
And it was.
They were not great cookies.
Terrible.
They did not turn out.
They did not turn
there
out.
There is a reason you whip your sugar and your butter and your eggs together first.
I know that now.
You get much better cookies.
Oh, that look on your guys' face when you guys turn around, it was just like, what did you just do? And I'm like, what? I'm cooking cookies. No, you're making mud pie. You didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, well, if they ever are calling for contestants, maybe we'll think of you.
I will, yeah, I mean, I'll do it. I'll do it for the team.
That's fun.
And I will.
I won't rock actually it. Go on Jeopardy, even if they are calling for contestants.
Why?
It's so much easier at home when you're yelling at the TV. I don't want to be on the stage having to hit the buzzer. I bet you I'm not very good at the buzzer.
Oh,
I would know the answers, but ringing in, I feel like
you
I would
just
fail
blurt
at.
It out. While he's talking.
It's like, oh, that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, and that framing it in a form of a question.
Oh, yeah,
would
no.
Be,
I'm not.
I'd pick it up eventually, but it'd be too late.
Why do I have to ask a question?
Can't I just say the answer? I know the answer.
Would you ever go on The Amazing Race with me?
Yes, actually.
Let's do that.
Especially because you love travel so much.
Oh, that would be the worst. Don't take me. Oh, my God. That was sarcasm to the fullest,
I'll take
guys.
Dan and I will kill it.
You guys would fucking kill it. Take Dan.
We'll go on The Amazing Race.
Oh, I mean, he did pick you over me on The Apocalypse.
He did.
So
I don't think he picked me over you. He just said I could come along, too. He gave me an ad one.
He did. Well, only because he knew I'd drop off day one. He already knew that. So, you know, he needs another companion if his other companion's not going to be very useful dead. All right.
Yeah, we got to move on. That got weird.
All right. So what did we read?
So this is a podcast where we read paranormal romance novels and then talk about them. And, you know, we hope that you guys read them along with us. We know a lot of you aren't, which is fine, too. As long as you still enjoy the podcast, I guess, do what do you.
Do
whatever you want to do.
You
want to listen to two people talk about books you haven't read? That's fine.
We're starting to hashtag us as like an online book club. We think that, you know, if
could
you guys
be
are
the equivalent of
a romance, steamy hot
book club.
Book
sure.
club for whoever wants
like
to
a
join us.
Digital, like, take that out. I don't know what I say.
No way that's taking it.
No.
Jeopardy!
So anyway, what book did we read?
Okay, so we...
Because I don't remember the title.
You did not have your notebook.
I don't
You've
even have
thrown
notebooks
it away.
Anymore. You guys are off the rails.
So we read Secrets in Blood by Patricia D. Eddy. I'm assuming it's Eddie and not Edie. Eddie.
I think it was Eddie.
Okay. Narrated by Aiden Snow and Grace Grant.
Yes. So, Clitz Notes.
Clitz Notes.
Short version. Eva... So there, vampires exist. That's the real short version.
Real short.
Vampires exist. They are out in public. People know about them. There's a conclave of vampires that has put into a bunch of laws, codified some laws about how you can't feed directly off humans. You have to just use blood banks, and you're not supposed to use power, mind power to control. What did they? Because they kept using an Italian word, so I don't remember because it was Italian and
yeah,
hard.
They kept saying yeah, nope. I won't repeat it because I don't know it.
Like glamour, basically, or whatever.
You can't do mind control.
Mind control on humans. Stuff like that. But in America, there's a lot of new vampires that are kind of pushing back against some of the old rules. And there's also this religious sect called the Hand of God that's really unhappy about vampires. They're pretty fanatical. And so in 2005, they set up a secret underground science layer where a bunch of scientists are going to try to figure out vampires and how to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know how to kill them. You set them on fire. But they want a mass extinction event kind of thing for vampires. So this man, Henry Longo?
Yes, Longo.
Dr. Henry Longo and his family, his wife, his pregnant wife, move into the catacombs. And over the course of 26 years,
So, yeah. The math's a little off.
It gets weird. But his wife somehow dies during childbirth. We don't get that story at all. But he has this young daughter he's raising and also using in his experiments. He is, like, giving her blood treatments and constantly testing her blood and all of this stuff. He uses her as bait to capture a vampire when she's about 8. And he has this vampire, Nicola, chained up in the catacombs with them as a science experiment from 2013 on. And yeah. So during their one short interaction where Evangeline is out, she's being bait. She doesn't know it because she's 8 and 8-year-olds don't understand, especially ones who are raised by cults.
Yeah.
But so he's using her as bait. She's wandering in the woods. She gets lost. Nicola finds her and helps her. He's very kind. She's been told about how vampires are evil and they just want to enslave and kill humans. And this is what she believes because that's all she knows. But instead of being mean and hurting her, he helps her. He, like, carries her back to her family, to her father, who then shoots him and she thinks kills him. Mm-hmm. She doesn't find out till later that he's actually been in prison the whole time. So this whole time, she's growing up practically a prisoner, and she has a little bit of freedom, but she's not got much, and being used to incubate a serum that's supposed to prevent vampires from being able to control humans. And then Nicola's also a prisoner in the same space, and same, underground secret layer.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, naturally she fights him. She helps him escape. They fall in love. They bond for life. They kill her father. They go to Italy.
The end. That's it. Thanks for joining us. You guys, this is the most serious fucking book we've ever listened to.
It takes itself very seriously.
It started off very serious, remained serious. It didn't let up at all.
These fanatics are terrifying.
They are.
They're terrifying in their fanaticism.
They're the worst cult.
They're serious.
Yeah.
And, like, to the point where 30-plus people have moved underground for all their lives.
Yep.
It is 30 years since, you know, or 26, I guess, since they've been down there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they're still living down there. People get married, have children down there. Yep. Children don't ever get to leave. They live in the cult. I'm going to call it a cult. It was straight it's up a fucking cult.
Totally.
It's being run by this science fanatic guy whose whole goal is to destroy vampires, but he's really bad at finding out how to do that. Because, I mean, he had Nicola for 18 fucking years. Mm-hmm. And barely found a serum at the end, like, that was any good.
Yeah, it's a very convoluted plot, I think. And also,
well,
holy,
I think,
in a sense of, like, W-H-O, wait, no, no, that, not that holy, the other holy.
No.
Wait, no, not,
not
like,
spiritual
not
holy.
Not spiritual, like, holy.
It has holes
it
in
has
it.
It has divots in it.
I think there might be a third holy.
Is it H-O-L-E?
I don't know. Is that a word?
Because when you think W-H-O-L-E, you think it's whole. But if it's holy.
Guys, the hand motions.
Okay.
For that, we're great.
If you guys didn't see it, I just made a ball with my hands.
Anyway. But yeah. No, there's whole. I think that the science got confusing. It seemed like the bishop wanted them to focus on understanding the mind control and working on that, which seems like a very minor part of the overall vampire threat that you could be facing as a human. But somehow the serum seems to be twofold in that if given to the human, except it like makes them immune from the mind control, but then it also like poisons the vampire. It seemed to do both, and then it kind of also killed humans.
It did, but for her it didn't.
Well, no, because it came from her. She was the incubator.
I know
for
she
it.
Was. She and so she holds. She's like Will Smith in I Am Legend.
I didn't see the movie.
That was a good movie. You should watch it.
It
scary.
Looks terrifying. Why would
it's
I watch
a,
that
it's
movie?
It's about vampires. They're almost vampires in that movie. It was a good movie. But it was like his blood was the serum, like the cure-all for this whole epidemic. But for her, she is the incubator. She makes it. You would think that because she has it, that she's able to use it to kill off the vampires, but she doesn't. She actually saves them.
Well, because it's not that her blood is, like, okay, I get what you're saying about in Will Smith, his blood holds the cure. Mm-hmm. Her blood doesn't. She just is the thing that he uses to incubate the serum.
Okay.
Like, he uses her blood and then takes it out, turns it into a serum, and then, like, puts it back in her. And then she makes more serum.
Okay.
I mean, I don't feel like that was real science, but I'm not a scientist, so I can't say. Also, it's vampire science. It's
vampire science.
So it's hard to say. I mean, I think we're going to be pretty harsh on this book.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I hated it, because I didn't. It went pretty quickly. While I had it was really hard to read the first half, which is all of the time of her growing up, because the main characters are not together. She's a child for most of it, and he's in a cage. So a lot of the action is her father, the cult leader, mm-hmm. and the other scientists who have all apparently, in their religious furor, have abandoned humanity yeah. and are fucking using their own children to bait vampires. Like, I can't. Yeah. Like, that's so frustrating to me that it was hard to read, but at least I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then the part that should have been more interesting and, like, not as hard to read because it's not about crazy scientists using children
as
experiments. They escape, and once they're escaping, like, them, you know, meeting and talking and loving and, like, all of that.
Yeah.
Was kind of boring.
It was a camping trip.
It was
that
like
was
a long walk through the woods real slowly.
And one or the
chattering.
Other is completely fucking broken. Like, in a sense, they're dying.
It all kicks off with she gets mauled by a wolf and almost dies. And she gets pulled back into the compound mm-hmm. on the verge of death. They're trying to give her other vampire blood to save her, but it's young vampires mm-hmm. and it's really old blood, and so he's standing in the corner like screaming, let me save her, use my blood.
Yeah.
And they finally use his blood to save her, and she gets better, but she's still like totally fucked up and weak from mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. And then he almost dies. They like basically kill him.
Yeah.
But she gets him out. Mm-hmm. So he's almost dead. And then she like gets him healthy. And then she gets shot and thrown in the fire. And so she's dying for a while. And then he saves her. And then, I don't know, he gets his head chopped off and she somehow manages to save him from that. I mean, it's just back and forth.
What?
Her father cuts his neck, like slices his neck open right before she shoots her father in the face in the big battle at the end. Almost cuts his head off?
No.
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah, that happened.
Oh my god. I feel bad for missing that part.
It was very fast.
Oh, I didn't know that happened.
Because they were on their way to escape or something. I mean, the battle was real hard to follow.
Yeah.
Things were going real fast
okay,
and
that, yeah,
loose.
That's why.
But at one point, they were about to, like, escape or do something, and Henry comes up behind Nicola with a silver knife and a... that's covered in the serum and is holding it, like cutting his neck. And he's just like, run, Eva, run, you get out, escape. And he's, you know, Henry's like, mm-hmm. no, you're going to stay and watch me kill him. And
yeah.
all this drama. And then all of a sudden they look at each other and they like, communicate, even though they can communicate in their heads, but you know, no, they eye communicate. And he like pushes his head down onto the knife. And, like, gets almost decapitated and falls to the ground, and she shoots her father in the face.
Oh.
But he doesn't die, because then he blows the building up.
Right.
But he is shot in the face. But then, as soon as she shoots him, she runs over and bleeds into Nicola's mouth, saving him.
I didn't realize that it was his neck. That I knew he'd gotten injured. I didn't realize.
Yeah, he almost got decapitated.
Oh my god. I'm real bad at this job, and I apologize.
No, you're fine at it. I had to listen to the whole battle scene twice because I was like, what is happening?
Who is telling it?
Her.
Okay. Because there are two narrators in this book, and so it was a little bit hard to kind of follow with his side of the story, her side of the story, or his side of the story while she's telling the side of the story. It's just, it got so, it was difficult to follow.
It wasn't done the way I think we both expected.
Right.
when I see two narrators, I kind of expect them to take the parts and, like, have dialogue between the narrators so that, like, when they're talking, when the characters are talking to each other, she's voicing Eva and he's voicing Nick.
Right.
Instead, they just took the sections of the book that were being told from each character's point of view. So in the beginning, it makes sense because they're not together at all, right? So every time it's her talking about, you know, trying to learn about vampires on the internet and being slapped by her father, that's being told by the woman narrator, right?
Yeah.
Whose name I just forgot. Sorry.
Grace.
Grace. That's being told by Grace. And then if it's Nicola in the cage being tortured, it's being told by
Aiden.
Aiden. And that's fine. That makes sense. And then once they escape, though, they keep that separation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it got hard because it would be even Eva's part of the story, she's telling, like, her point of view, she's in her head, but Nick is telling his life history. So
yeah.
It's being narrated, Nick's life history is being narrated by Grace. And you're like, why am I hearing this from her point of view and not from Nick? You'd think it'd be Nick telling his story.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and that got weird.
It did.
And it was like Nick's point of view when she was talking about her, like, childhood. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. I think that was part of the reason why I got lost, especially, like, in a scene, like, the battle scene. Like, you said you had to go back and listen to it again.
Oh, twice.
Whereas I didn't. I just kind of was like, okay, this is cool. I think I got it. But it was the hardest part is you've got two different people reading sort of different main characters, but then the same characters for everybody else. So there's two different voices
there's
for
really
each
like
character.
Lots of voices.
Yeah. So like,
because each narrator does their own voices for everybody.
Yeah. Because when Longo, or not Longo, Aiden read Longo as the doctor, as Henry, her dad, he had him in a very more almost upbeat and confident type
yes.
of voice.
Yes.
But then when Grace read him, he sounded like he was dying all the time. Like he just
and
sounded
he was
so
much
tired
and stuff.
Yeah. So it was harder to follow that. It almost seems like two completely different characters. It wasn't planned out very well, I think.
I agree. Because, yeah, it wasn't just, like, when you have one narrator, they commit to a voice for every character and you eventually fall into it. You go, okay, that's what
who that person sounds like.
They sound right. like. But then, like, almost the whole story is almost, I mean, I think it was only like 3 hours when the other vampires finally show up. Like, 3 hours left in the whole book when his Italian vampire friends show up. And so we added
three.
We added three new Italian vampire voices, but both of them did them differently. So now we have six new voices for three new characters towards the end of a book. And I'm going, I don't know what's happening.
No,
I don't know who's talking. I don't know why.
Yeah, I wish that they hadn't done it like that. It just, I think it would have made it, one, easier to follow because the storyline was hard enough to follow. But then to have all the different characters have different voices was so much harder. I can listen to each one of them tell one story. Like, it could have either been Aiden or it could have been Grace.
Yeah.
I'd have been fine with either.
Just go with it.
Aiden's vampire voice was better.
Oh, so good.
Aiden's got a sexy voice.
Ugh.
This is a very, he's got a very deep voice and he's got good accents. He reads it very well. It's very,
no,
very,
I, yeah,
very
I mean,
sexy.
He is very, yeah, his voice is
sexy, very
sexy. And it was great, especially listening to him read sex scenes.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, please.
For sure. His sex scenes
more,
were
please.
Much better.
Thank you.
And Grace was fine too. Her accents weren't that great, but
she slipped a lot on the Italian into more of like a
Transylvanian Dracula
type voice.
Which, you know, it is, but she sounds like other narrators that we've had before. She's just,
she did one of those. It was just, I think, the comparison. And then, like you said, everyone had two voices then, and it was like, I don't know.
So I think that's sort of, like, part of the reasons why I fell back on some of those scenes, because I just, I couldn't follow along.
No.
So, but also, it's me, and I already have that problem just naturally.
No, it was hard. It was challenging, so. Yeah, just overall, I wanted more. Like, there was room to do something else, I think.
Yeah.
Over half the book is after they've escaped and nothing happens.
They're in that
abandoned. They all almost die multiple times, but nothing really actually happens. They walk through the woods talking to each other about fucking Italy and sandwiches and shit. There's a picnic at one point. The other vampires show up and they have a picnic in a convenience store. And I'm like, why are we describing sardines?
I just didn't understand why couldn't you guys just leave at that point? I know that they were waiting to find out what the next step was going to be with the the cult. But I feel like they could have probably gone back later and just attacked him then, because they were both recovering and they were weak and they needed to,
I agree. I think that they were afraid that since he'd finally made a good serum, mm-hmm. like an actually effective serum, that they had to get him now.
Okay.
Well, and he had, like, lost his mind. We didn't get a real good picture of this or understanding, but he had sent at least two of the cult members out infected with the serum, and they both died from it.
Yeah, they did.
Like, they didn't survive. Mm-hmm. So I think she was worried about her, that. The rest she of didn't the people. Want her father killing more innocent people trying to hunt her and Nicola down.
Okay.
He had obviously crossed the line into insanity.
yeah. And for a girl that's been grown up as an experiment and physically, not sexually, but physically abused and mentally abused by her father, she's got her shit together for not, you know, she's a skilled fighter. She's a hunter. She has a plan and she knows what she needs to do to get out of there. And she doesn't know anything about the life upstairs.
She's never been out. I mean, she's been in the woods. She's
to
been
hunt. That's it.
In the catacombs and mm-hmm. in the woods. Yeah. That's where she's been. So she has no idea what she's society is like. She's never seen a
car before.
And it's 2031.
Yes.
Guys, we don't even know. It's the fucking future.
It is. It is.
So we don't know what it's like out there at this point. But I like when our characters are strong, but I had a harder time believing her character. Mm-hmm. Because I do think that the extreme abuse of that childhood, the extreme isolation, no friends, no mm-hmm. mother, no children, like no other.
No vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. No vitamin mm-hmm. D, probably. They kept giving her vitamin shots. I'm sure some of it was D. But the extreme physical abuse from her father, he slapped her and broke her, like almost broke her arm all the time.
He's always slapping her.
Her being locked up, her being like completely unsocialized. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing that explains her ability to be so self-aware,
very mindful.
She doesn't know anything. Like, he never told her history. She doesn't, like, we still don't know. We don't know how her mother died. There's something in there. Something had to do with a vampire, because he mm-hmm. was convinced that she was the only woman. Like, he was doing these experiments on all of the women, because, of course, your typical misogynistic cults will only experiment on females. Why would we possibly think we could, you know, I don't know, genetically alter male DNA? No, fuck that. We got to do women.
It's their fault.
So, I mean, they were experimenting and testing all the women, mm-hmm. but she was the only one that was reacting. And it had something to do with her mother's death. Something like she got bit by a vampire before her death or something. Yeah. We don't know because they fucking didn't explain it. And after all of that book, we still don't know. And I can't believe that. But it's just, like, I want my characters to be awesome and strong and stuff. But she was given such a raw deal that I didn't buy it. Yeah. I was just like, no. She'd be a mess. She would be a beaten down. She just would be cowed.
It doesn't seem great.
Yeah.
You want them to be like that, but it just isn't. It's not. I mean, it's for as serious as this book is, you think that they would have probably taken on
it just, that she persona. She didn't seem to have any
yeah.
broken. Yes, like
nothing was.
She was
completely sound of mind. Fine. Take, for example, and I don't remember her name, but in Kodiak Point with the, I think he was a wolf.
Yes.
And the one that was captured, mm-hmm. they were underground. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. She has the weird magic where she could like control the animals.
Yeah.
I don't remember
her name. That was my favorite one of the three. But of course I can't remember her name. But she was fucking weird.
She was and super weird because she'd been in a cage for her whole life.
She'd been enslaved and been in a cage and used as bait for all sorts of stuff.
Like since childhood.
Yes. So
you get weird.
And she was fucking, she was strong. She ended up fighting and trying to taking care of herself and stuff. But she still, and even in the second book, remained weird. Like she just wasn't.
She just, because she'd never been socialized.
No, she'd never had anything.
And neither
like
has Eva. She had one friend who her father basically made be her friend.
Right.
An older woman, not a lot older, but a slightly older girl, like woman. Who she ended up living with in her teenage 10 years
older or something.
Yeah, but who was fanatical too because her father had been killed, she thinks, by a vampire. Mm-hmm. I think we'll eventually find out not, but whatever.
She did.
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, we don't know if Cassie's dead?
She was laughing and thrown against the wall last I saw her.
Bitch is crazy. Yeah. She was crazy, bitch.
She was pretty nuts.
I mean, and we don't know who all survived. That was another thing. Is like,
that's, I thought Longo died, and you just like 2 minutes well, he ago did. Said.
Well, he shot. Like we don't know for sure. I guess that's true. We don't know. She thinks he's dead. She shot him in the face, and he was bleeding. It's like half of his jaw's blown off.
Okay.
And then he pushed the self-destruct button on the tunnels. And that's the last we see of him. So the assumption is he got blown up when the tunnels got blown up. But she had gotten the portal gun working, and all the other people who lived down there were trying to portal out. But okay. We don't know. We never got any, like, closure on did they get out, who got out.
Yeah.
We don't know if Cassie, him, like, any of them. Some of them could be safe. Some of them could not be. We don't know.
Because
all the vampires got away and ran off.
That was probably the most exciting part of that whole book, was when he set the detonator. Then there was a countdown. I was like, oh, because countdowns scare the shit out of me.
Yeah. Like, and it was a short countdown. Yeah, it was 30 seconds.
It was very, very short.
It was like, self-destructs are usually five minutes, guys. Mm-hmm. You have 30 seconds. You have
30 seconds to get out of this fucking underground.
No one has time.
Hovel that you guys are underneath, yeah. It doesn't, I don't know, maybe, obviously you can't explain the vampires because they just are, or maybe you can, but the whole portal thing, too, really threw me off. Because it almost started, like in the very beginning, like, a long, long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, and then you get to when Eva's mom was pregnant, and they created this portal or whatever, and he,
Well, like, there was some weird sidebar about how NASA did it, and because the hand of God had infiltrated NASA, like they had a operative in NASA, he had stolen a couple of the portal guns and given them to the hand of God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's 2005, and they have teleportation technology.
Well, and,
and I'm like, no, we didn't.
And also, it's 2031, and in all the future, they have are cars and airplanes.
And it's still the teleportation.
And you still have... He's, like, teaching her, or Carla was teaching Nicola how to expand the screen on the cell phone. All you have to do is put your two fingers on the screen and open it. And I was like, well, I bet in 2031 there'd be something a little bit more sophisticated
than that. It's probably a hologram that floats above the desk, and you're just like, all right.
That's right. Well,
yeah,
anyway. I mean, that's just nitpicking.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting really specific on the shit we didn't like.
I mean, we could talk about what we did sort of enjoy, and that was, okay, the sex was written. It was hot. It was hot sex.
Yeah, I mean, especially following last week's book, or last episode's book, mm-hmm. where we had no sex.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to have sex again.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I do like, especially in, like, these stories where they're on the run, but they just can't keep their hands off each other.
Right.
They, like, just cannot do it.
Like,
they're
we're
just
in a
like,
life or death situation
I know
here.
We're about to die. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're hunting us down as we speak. Mm-hmm. We got to take a moment and fuck in this tree. Like, I can't concentrate. We're not going to get away until we stop here. We were in a cabin a little while ago. We could have fucked there, but no.
Nope, that didn't happen.
I would fuck in these pine cones. That sounds good.
And it did.
I mean, they're real fast. Like, the last scene's a little bit longer, more prolonged, more, like, intense.
That was
like,
the mating mutual, scene.
Yeah,
though,
where they were cementing the bond, mm-hmm. the bonding scene.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the first two sex scenes are just like, wham, bam, we got to get this done.
Yep, because they're in the woods in one, and they were hiding in the gas station in the other.
Yeah.
I liked it, too. It wasn't, like you said, they weren't very long, they weren't too detailed, but they were detailed enough, and they got you good enough, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, those were enjoyable.
Props to the sex scenes.
Yeah. I would have to say that's probably the only thing that I liked about this book, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. Oh, and Aiden. I kind of want to find other. Yeah, the narrator. I kind of want to find other books that he reads.
Yeah, we could look up him as a narrator. Yeah. That'd be a good idea.
Because he's probably the deepest voice we've had. And there's just something that he's got just in there, hidden
it's
somewhere.
It's really, like, gravelly.
It's gravelly.
Gravitas.
And just,
it was sexy
It's
as hell.
Almost kind of like, I don't give a shit. My voice is sexy, and I'm just going to read. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Read to me.
And his Italian sounded right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Italian in this book. But, yeah, we like the sex scenes. Sex scenes are good.
I do like you just said, where... They can't stop that anticipation where they're just like, we know we're gonna fuck, but we gotta, like, keep moving because we really are running for our lives.
Yeah.
But then there's just that moment. That moment where you're like,
we
I can't
have to.
I can't.
Like, there's no other options now.
Yeah.
Just
let's just do it.
Just fuck me.
We're good. This has been about two days.
Just can't put up with this any longer.
The only disturbing, like, the only problem that I had that I need to separate myself from, because she is a consenting adult.
She is 26. Like, is, we've had way younger characters.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. But that he met her when she was 8.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And then all of a sudden it became, like, he met her. She was bait, so they stumbled upon each other in the woods, and he'd captured her, and or he didn't capture her. He was going to rescue her. Then he got captured, and then all of a sudden his life just became about protecting her when he had obviously something else to live for before. I don't know. I had a hard time understanding that relationship. Like, I don't know why he held on to her for so long after just meeting her for...
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I struggled with how he would react every time they mentioned her. Yeah. So that then Dr. Lungo and the team knew he cared. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like that was a flaw.
Yeah.
Like, don't let those bitches know.
don't say nothing.
But I want to say, like, they kind of gave him an out in the sense that he found out pretty quickly while he was helping her as a child that she had been indoctrinated to be afraid of vampires. Mm-hmm. But he said that he was one and she gave him no fear. Like,
she wasn't scared of him.
She took him at his word that he wouldn't hurt her. Mm-hmm. She believed him and she gave him full trust right away as an 8-year-old. And mm-hmm. I think there was something about that.
Okay.
Like, his last contact with a human prior to being captured was this full trusting child who okay. just, and she asked him to take her away.
Yeah.
Because she hated her father because he was awful.
Okay.
So I think there was, like, I'm going to guess it's along the lines of the imprinting that exists in the Twilight world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how, like, Jacob imprints upon sure. the fucking baby. And you're like, well, that's great. Stupid book.
Dan called it in the beginning. He was like, that guy's got shifty little beady pedophile eyes.
In the movies.
In just... the movies. He did.
Well, yeah. Comes to pass. So something like that. She, on the other hand, you know, like, had his coin and mm-hmm. thought of him and how nice he had been every time her father was being horrible mm-hmm. and testing on her and abusing her. And so they spent 18 years with, like, that is their only recent kindness memory. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shortened the bonding time because
yeah.
they've been fixating on each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. As soon as I read it, I was like, oh, fuck. We're going to watch her age until she's old enough to fuck him.
That is exactly
I'm
what
happened.
I'm
a little
happened.
Bit weirded
it was,
out by that.
It was very weird. I couldn't help but think about Interview with the Vampire with Louis and... Kristen Dunst. Whoever. I don't remember what the little girl's name was.
I don't know.
And obviously she couldn't grow because he had turned her when she was a little girl, but she'd been alive for so long that I sort of took that away from her and imagined her growing up and then if they would have become lovers and how fucking weird that would have been.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, you're not wrong. I think I'm glad that she thought he was dead the whole time mm-hmm. and they didn't have a continuous relationship throughout her childhood into growing up because that's called grooming
mm-hmm.
and it's not right but
brainwashing
yeah exactly so you know I don't know I can't you know you just have to take it you have to go well
so just I mean what can we do
she wasn't lusting after him until she was 26
that's true
and then
it wasn't until well
and
until
he
after
wasn't
she...
lusting after her he was just thinking fondly of her
yeah
and hoping that she got out because she was a kind gentle girl yeah. who innocent who didn't deserve that life
right but it also could have been that whole fated mates type of pull
oh it absolutely is
you
I
know?
Mean even at the very very end when they're getting married and he's like I bought these rings centuries ago even though I never believed in bonding really you just bought You're the like, original vampire's mate rings
just in case I do start to
but
believe.
I don't believe in bonding obviously bullshit so
that's funny I'm gonna say it's that because I feel better about it
yeah.
being that way than him like remembering her as an 8-year-old and then falling in love with her later it just is very disturbing to me
yeah
but I'll separate it I'll let my mind do that but hey speaking of fated mates we can go into our kiss and tell or not.
No, we can.
Okay.
I'm making a weird face, guys. Sorry. You are. I'm still trying to think of an explanation for why we are okay with her.
We are not.
We're not.
We are not okay with it. I'm not okay with it.
It's weird.
But so I'm going to say that it is because of the whole Faded Mates
part. Also, we haven't mentioned it, but she's not a normal human. Her father's experiments or whatever happened to her mother, something altered her so that, mm-hmm. yes, she grew up to about 26, but now she's going to slow her aging process because her cells don't, when they divide, they don't lose that piece. So that ages.
Are we talking about Renesmee here? Because I kind of feel like we're talking about Renesmee.
Yeah.
We're going straight back into Twilight.
It's, yeah. Somebody took a little bit from Twilight.
But no. Yes.
Yeah, because it was right afterwards.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but yeah. So she's not going to age. She ages very, very slowly. Along mm-hmm. the same lines as vampires. So she doesn't have to be a vampire to have a long, almost immortal life with him.
Right.
Convenient.
Convenient.
Anyway, yeah. So there's that. She couldn't have a normal life with a human.
Well, no.
Because she'd be weird and live longer than them. No. So then she has to meet a vampire.
And he couldn't have just been like a hobo vampire like Wade wanted. He has to be a super millionaire rich. And have his estates held onto him for, 50 years that they have to prove their death or whatever in order for their assets to be dissolved or something. I don't know. Just, it has to be set up that way otherwise. Can somebody find us a hobo vampire story, please? I need one desperately. So our kiss and tell. Obviously, there's lots of, so there's the Faded Mates trope of this. Along with that is probably that pool of you're my one and only. We're destined to be each other. Also, I'm going to be really jealous and possessive of you naturally because of it.
Instantly. I won't even let you shake hands with another person of an opposite sex because that's upsetting.
Right. You had been missing from your friends for 18 years and you go to hug the woman who's been with you for so long.
Who's known you way longer than I've ever known you.
Instantly jealous and I almost growl at her.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. Or I'm about to fall off a building and then your friend catches me and then you hang him over the fucking cliff. Or not the cliff, the edge of the fucking building because you helped me up onto this. Oh, okay. Our kiss and tell is going to be around jealousy and possessiveness, which we're going to talk about the Faded Mates. Like, do we believe in the one and only and how do we feel about this, this and that and that? And you okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I don't know. Yes, we're going to talk about jealousy, possession, one and only soulmates,
yes.
Bonded for life.
So if any of you guys don't remember, because I actually don't think we've explained what our kiss and tells have been for the last couple of episodes, but they're just stories of our personal lives that we can relate to different topics of the book that we just read.
Yeah, kind of like taking ideas or themes from the book and talking about mm-hmm. our own realities.
Yeah, so personal stories about jealousy and possessiveness. Any relationships that you've been in?
Not really. I've been pretty lucky into mm-hmm. not experience that. I can think back to like when I was still a teenager, like high school and college. That's definitely a time when my relationships were a little bit more dramatic. Like I wasn't full on possessive or mm-hmm. jealous, but just a little bit, you know, more drama around those topics. Like, sure. It's never been a big streak of mine, mm-hmm. and I'm not attracted by it, so I definitely wouldn't put up with it for long, and luckily none of my past relationships have you know,
yeah.
had guys that have been super jealous or anything, but it definitely, now it's just totally chill, but I can say that, like, one of my, you know, high school relationships where you're just like, you want to be jealous about something or you make some shit so it's you can just be dramatic like about crap because you're a fucking 18-year-old and you just have to be.
You see these examples on TV and your other friends and your older siblings or whatever, and you just think that that's the norm.
Yeah.
And that's how a relationship should be on it, and that's how you build a strong relationship. Or that if you feel this way about somebody, that it makes your love for them that much stronger mm-hmm. because you are allowed to be possessive or jealous of them. That just means I love you more. No, it doesn't. It means you have a lot of internal self-conflict or self-esteem issues that you really need to work on and discover on your own.
Externalizing internal issues.
Yeah, and it's not healthy and it's not good.
Usually it's pretty unhealthy.
Yeah, so.
There's a lot of, like, there's a significant chance, especially in extreme cases of jealousy or possession, to be abusive, you know? And absolutely. So it's definitely something to shy away from, because it's a red flag.
For sure. I think
it sends the wrong message.
I think it might be mistaken as far as, like, trust goes. You want to trust your partner, obviously. There should be the only person that you would trust. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, I trust you not to overstep our relationship. Mm-hmm. You can't trust other people that are around your relationship because you don't know them. You're not in the relationship with them. Mm-hmm. But you have to trust in your partner to stay within those boundaries. And if you're going to be crazy and show obsessiveness and possessiveness and jealousy, especially if your partner's not into it, that's going to put a big tear in your relationship. And it might lead them to not be trustful or trustworthy.
It can push people away and cause the exact thing that you're afraid of happening.
And it's always a chance that you take, because you could put all your trust in someone that they could not deserve it.
Exactly.
But that is a lesson then you learn, you move on from. Yeah. Not everybody is going to be like that.
But being crazy possessive isn't going to stop. If they're already untrustworthy, like if they were going to stray, if they're the person that was going to stray, then you being intense isn't going to prevent it.
No. Right.
So don't be crazy.
Just don't do it. It's not healthy for yourself in a relationship.
It
don't,
just isn't.
Yeah, don't do that to your heart. It's not worth it.
But I think we've all had, especially, I think it's really big in pop culture to show that, especially along like teenage stuff. A lot of movies have that trope, young, you know, adult movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show that because it seems emotional. It seems like that's just the end all be all of love.
It makes for good TV, obviously. Why would you watch it otherwise? It's
that's true. The drama, really, like, of it. Stable, like, reasonable relationships, just very uninteresting. That's what before we started recording, I was like, I don't have one of these stories because I don't have drama in my relationships. And you're like, that's good. And I was like, not for podcasts.
No, it's true.
it makes bad podcasts.
I don't have a jealous, like, in my point in time with my relationship with Dan, I don't have that story either. In fact, I'm encouraging for that type of relationship. Like, not for him to cheat on me, obviously, or for me to do the same, but for, like, a little flirtation here and there. Or if he goes out with his guys and he's dancing with girls, go fucking dance. Do it. Sometimes I'm like, hey, if you bring home a phone number, that means you still got it, and I'll give you a blowjob. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, it's good for us to be trusting and playful. Yeah. There's no jealousy. That I think the only jealousy that I really ever truly had from Dan was of this imaginary girlfriend that I made up for him. And I think I talked about this a couple of episodes ago. I feel like this,
came up once.
I almost cried thinking about how much I hated this imaginary girlfriend and how much he loved her enough to leave me and our boys. I fucking hated her. She's not real. That's the extent of it. And I think maybe there's, like, a little bit of natural jealousy of, like, maybe, oh, you're spending too much time with your girlfriends. And that's not really a jealousy, but, like, maybe an awareness.
Well,
right?
Or just a maybe you're feeling slighted, or just not, like, you're not getting enough of their time.
Right.
But not even that you're jealous that they're or concerned. Mm-hmm. It's just more like, hey, you pretty much want to be number one. Absolutely. In your, you know, relationship. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling like they're putting a lot of energy somewhere else, that can be hurtful.
That makes sense. So that's the opposite of possessiveness. And if we're talking about now possessiveness, it's like, if he had that control over me, I wouldn't fucking be sitting here. I wouldn't let that happen. But, like, if I was in that type of a relationship, then this would be for naught. You know, but so I haven't been in anything like that. I think even with my ex-boyfriends, and if I did, I was very oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Very oblivious. I've been in one relationship where I was verbally, not all the time, but verbally abused. And it wasn't all the time. It's just when it did, it was like, bam. It was almost like a punch in the face. Mm-hmm. The only time in my life that people really, truly told me hurtful things, or, like, things that they felt was the truth about myself that was meant to be malicious and hurtful. Like, my mom would tell me I'm fat. Mm-hmm. But that's not because she hates me. She doesn't tell me because she's trying to hurt my feelings. She just says it, you know, it's just what she said. But I had an ex-boyfriend who would say mean things to me to purposely hurt my feelings.
To lower your self-esteem and make you dependent upon him.
Exactly. And to bring me down.
Because then when he said nice things, you'd feel all the bitch better about it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Now that's a standard behavior.
The only one that I would go to. And you know what? That relationship only lasted a couple of months and then it was done. Like, so I don't have a good story for this one either, but... You know.
Which is good, but bad for podcasting.
Yeah, good for bad for podcasting. But then now we can talk about our feelings about how we feel about One True Loves.
Sure.
Because in this book, there's the fated mate. She's only been with one other person in her entire life.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard when you grow up in a cult. And you live underground and are never exposed to anybody but the 30 people you live with. And they were all adults when you were a baby. And there's a couple other children, but yeah, it seemed like there was a guy a couple years older than her, maybe.
Yeah, that she'd been dating for a little bit, and they'd had sex a couple of times, and but that's it. She'd never really had true relationship or body satisfaction.
I mean, this was I liked it for, like, obviously it was added to the book. Like, it was one of those, like, tongue-in-cheek moments, because you're like, it was so self-aware. It was like when the romance book became self-aware of its romance book nature because the main female character is having this conversation with her other female friend about sex. Mm-hmm. And her friend's like, what do you know about sex? And she's like, well, you know, Joe and I, whatever. I don't remember what his name
was.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
But she's like, yeah, well, we had sex a couple of times. I mean, it wasn't that great. It just seemed to be like he'd get off and then we'd be done. But there was one time where I just was like, well, I'm not letting you get off until you get me off first. I mean, I've read romance novels. I know. I'm supposed to enjoy it too. And I in one part loved it because I was like, of course you've read romance novels, because otherwise.
I did smile at that part.
But then the other part, and I'm like, yeah, you get yours, girl. That's great. But then the other part of me was like, I'm sorry. This repressed woman who's been beaten by her father her whole life, raised in a male-dominated cult, understands about female orgasms even when she has no control over her internet access? I don't think so.
Wrong.
I mean, they did mention that she read romance novels, but they also said that her father was the only one who controlled her downloads, like what books were on her e-reader.
She wasn't allowed to,
So why was he putting romance novels on her e-reader when he's this big of a controlling asshole?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he wasn't an asshole, I'd be like, cool, cool dad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to stick with one thing, you have to stay with it throughout the
thing. But I still appreciated the sentence for what it was meant to do, which was... say romance readers know how to get theirs because we've read the books.
Yes, exactly. but if you're going to write about how he restricted things, just say, but I figured out a loophole into getting dirty books or something. Then
we would have been cool.
Okay, that's cool. That's how you got it. We understand it now. Mm-hmm. But
but then later in the book, it like threw romance books under the bus when it said that in those books, the women like to get carted off through the forests by the big strong man, and she like had some problem with it. I don't know. The book didn't seem to be able to make up its mind.
He carried her through the forest.
I don't know. The book was hard, guys. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring this back to this. We were discussing fate and mates. We have to get back onto
that. Okay, we got to get back onto that. So, do you have thoughts on that?
I don't believe in it. Surprise.
Do you believe in it? So, okay, let's take out the fantasy part of it, which is obviously the fate of it. Do you believe in one true love?
No.
Do you believe in love?
No.
Do you believe in love?
Not really.
I should have started with that. Come on, you guys. Come on, guys. You guys should have helped me on that one there. You know who we're talking to.
I mean, obviously, I believe in love as a generalized concept. Sure. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I don't believe in love at first sight or like one true loves and stuff like that. I think that you can have a lot of loves in your life and they come in all different types of, you know, romantic, friendship, familial, stuff like that. So, no.
You just broadened the subject. You're like, I'm going to take this very vague thing.
I also said, no, I don't believe in
you
it.
You did say that. You did say that.
And so the whole, and especially falling in love after like 2 days of being on the run together, I feel is just really, it's poor decision making.
I don't know. If you can carry me through the woods and keep feeding me your blood.
No, I don't want your blood. What?
I'm in love. I am yours forever.
No, thanks.
I'm with you on that in a sense. I believe in love. It's my number one rule.
You love it.
I'm team love. I support love. I think loving is very important, whether it's with yourself or with others, especially if you're in a relationship. I don't believe in one true love for one person, though. I think there are too many people in this world to find just one person to love. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you should restrict yourself from it either. Not to say you go and search for it after you've found somebody. I think if you found someone that you could share your life with and that you're in love with them, great. That's the one that you're committed to, and you can't help the way that you feel about it. But if something should happen in that relationship and it breaks off, that doesn't mean that's over. That doesn't mean you're done. You found your one true love. Now you can't go find another person. Go out and find yourself love again. It's worth it. It's always worth it, even if you think your heart's going to break all over again.
But in these books, the fated mates always, like, die if their mate dies.
They do. They never get more love. And then they vow for centuries and centuries and centuries to never fall in love again. And then they find her again. And they're like, oh, you've made me change my mind about love. I vowed never to fall in love again.
Well, yeah, that happens a lot in these books, too.
No, they totally do. And they break their rule when they could just be like, just love. I cannot stress this enough, people. You guys have heard my soapbox about this every single episode. Saylette loves.
She does.
And so yeah, I mean, I don't believe in the fated mates either. I think that that is fun for story. Well, I don't even like it in the books we read, but
it's in all the books.
It's in all of our books. It's the tropes we decided to follow. It's just what we're doing. So if it's what it's being written about, and there are some stories that we've read that I truly love that are fated mates.
Sure.
I've fallen in love with the characters.
Sometimes they're not fated. Sometimes they are still forever, but they're not fated.
Well, sure.
And that, like Blood Laws, we loved so much because they weren't fated.
Isaac and Sass. Oh my God. Colleen, I'm on book four and I'm losing my fucking mind. You don't know what's going to
happen. Stop reading ahead.
I cried when this happened. I can't stop. It's a drug. It is so fucking good. Colleen.
Yo, we can't talk about it. We're talking about another book.
Okay, you know how we talk about, like, when you read about sex scenes in each of the books. Mm-hmm. How in one book, it's the same. It's like the same sex over and over.
Uh-huh.
No.
Stop talking about a book we aren't talking about.
I need to talk about this
we
one.
We will talk about it off air.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Guys, anyway, don't listen
yeah,
to her.
So they're not, they're, you're right. They're, like, those guys in general, Stas and Isaac, oh, now you're going to get me on this one.
But they're not fated.
They're not a fated mate, but they are in love.
Yes.
And they are, we got to move on because I will start talking about
no.
it.
No.
Anyway, but anyway, in this book.
The vampires in the Bond relationship die if they're.
If their partners.
Dies.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
for life.
It is.
Which was weird because when they agreed, when Eva agreed to the bonding ritual, she thought she was pure human and was going to die in like 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she agreed anyway. And he was like, yeah, that's cool. I'll watch you die in 60 years.
Well, you know, when you grow up in a cult underground and you really, you know some stuff and you don't know other stuff. That's one of the stuff she doesn't know. She's smart, but she's dumb. Like, she just doesn't know.
You've been indoctrinated by a cult. You have no choices.
She has no choice. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's that on there.
I mean, that kind of.
Go love people. I'm not going to tell you again. I mean, that's not
she
true.
She is going to
tell
you
again.
I'm
just
going to
tell you
it.
Over
It'll
and over
up.
And over. Love is amazing. It's going to hurt you. It's going to kill you. But it's so great and so worth it. Don't listen to Kalina.
I don't think you should listen to me either. I don't know why. I'm not trying to sway them in my
You're
opinion.
You're like, no, down with love.
I'm not some fanatical cult leader who believes that we should all hate and not love. No. I just don't have as much faith in it as you do. I'm not as enamored of love as you are. I don't have an article. We never actually got around to looking one up.
Fun fuck fact.
You know,
the source is going to be from Saylette.
Okay.
And the fact is that everybody deserves to be loved.
There we go.
Find something or I'm going to keep going.
That's too broad a topic.
There are too many good people. There's lots of bad people out there, but too many good people out there. And if you found your one, great, that's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a great thing. But should it not work out, should it not last, there's always more people.
You know, I just, the articles are too big and I can't read them all while Silek continues to talk. So we just don't have a good fun fuck fact.
All right. That's all right. We can't always, we never have our shit together, so wouldn't be surprised if they're hard, like, guys. Silek and Kalina don't know what they're doing again. Big surprise.
Actually, yeah, just go with that.
So.
There you go. That's fun.
Yeah.
I don't have a good one.
So, do we want to rate? Are we done? I just totally was like, let's rate.
Yeah, we're done.
There isn't anything else to this story. There's nothing. The place blows up. They have their meeting. No, they have their mating situation or mating ceremony. Well, they have a.
I mean, there's a second book in the story.
There is?
Yeah. Because I think so. I swear I looked it up. Is there not a second one?
No, oh, guys, dude.
Never mind. Ignore this. Moving forward. We're done with the book. It doesn't matter.
I'm not going to the second one. So if you want to talk about it, that's cool. But I've washed my hands of this one.
All right. Me too. What are you going to rate it? Jesus Christ. This is so hard.
Hey, I now know what our tattoo should be. It should be our rating system because we never fucking have it up.
Please.
What's our next tattoo? Oh, boy. I don't want to give this one a one.
No, it doesn't deserve a one.
It doesn't deserve a one.
I don't even think we gave the last book a one.
No. No, but that one at least had plot and story. Like, that one was okay. I think I gave that one a four. Story-wise, I'm going to give this one a two.
Yeah.
It's a limp dick two.
It was disappointing.
Yeah. And I can give the sex a six. Because when we did get to those three moments.
They were good.
They were good.
There was good sex scenes.
Sex in the woods, sex in an abandoned gas station, and then.
Sex on top of an abandoned gas station.
That is what it was.
It was.
It was totally that.
It was on a roof.
That one was much more detailed because that was the actual mating situation.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was my thought. That was my thought. Okay. We haven't mentioned this. Okay. So during the mating or the bonding ritual, they have to bite each other five times on both.
There were specifics?
Yes.
Fuck.
Come on. Follow the book.
I swear I read this book. I swear I did.
On both pulse points on the neck, like both.
Oh, and then on the heart.
And then both on the wrists.
See, I didn't.
And then above the heart. Mm-hmm. And the scene of him biting her boob above her heart. The whole time I was just thinking of the Princess Bride scene where Princess Buttercup's about to kill herself and Wesley's all like, there's a shortage of perfect boobs in the world. It'd be a shame to ruin
that's
yours.
Like, yeah, the greatest.
It's one of the best lines. It's such a good movie. And Wesley. Now she has this permanent vampire mm-hmm. bite mark on her breasts. And I was just like, that's okay. A weird choice, book.
I understand. That weird, is a weird choice.
It's a weird choice.
I understand trying to bite a woman over the heart. Because we've got, well, you've got meat there.
Thanks.
I do not. But how do you bite a guy over the heart?
You bite his pec?
There's nothing there.
How well, there's a muscle. I mean, I still, wait, it okay.
Just bit
it's weird.
Air.
At
it's,
least the, like,
the wrists and
the veins and stuff made sense.
The necks.
The neck, all the necks. Left and right.
Oh,
necks.
My God. The but heart, the heart.
It was
thing
a weird choice. Yeah. And, like, when it happened, I was like, I'm not sure about
yeah.
This.
I wasn't sure about the whole.
Because then also in their bonding marks are permanent. Like, all the other mites, like, bites and stuff heal and close, but
except
those ones are scars that are permanent.
And then they eat for like 7 days or something.
Oh, food. Don't bring up food again. This book had a real obsession with it. Anyway. So I knew there was like something that I wanted to get out, which
was
don't bite boobs.
I mean, if you're going to bite it, be nice about it. Don't leave marks. I'm all for biting boobs. Well, if you're going to bite a boob.
I meant like permanently scar
nice
them with
to
your
the
teeth.
Boob that you're going to bite. Just.
It also ruins all low-cut dresses from that. Just, you're really limited in what you can wear.
I'm going to know exactly what you're wearing, and I'm going to have to examine your boobs and be like, do I need to have a talk with somebody to not bite boobs too hard?
That's another story
scarves
for another time.
Scarves and low-cut dresses. Sorry.
I think we've had that conversation.
We have. I went full circle.
You did.
All right.
So, Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, because again, I didn't like hate it. I just was bored.
It was boring.
I just was bored.
Well, sad.
And I don't like being bored.
I don't like being bored book after book after book. Like, if we'd had a good book and then we had a boring book, I would be okay with it. But it just makes me more mad.
See, I wasn't bored with our last one. I really liked Faith. Is that her name? Faith Hunter? No.
No, Faith was the author.
Author.
What was her name?
Jane.
Rose.
Jane, Yellow Rock.
I just made up Rose.
I really liked her, and I liked, I mean, it was too long. It needed a certain mm-hmm. chunk of it cut out.
Ooh, yeah.
Which we've already told you about. But this one was just boring. Like, it could have been a novella. It could have been a short story and been, like, a really tight short story about fanatical medical experimentation in vampires.
It could have been a prelude into a new like a series.
Oh, that's it could absolutely could be. Like, this really short snippet like about how he gets free and then the rest of their life. A
prelude into this whole beautiful story that's going to
That happen. Could be. But it's not that. It's so, not. Because it is what it is, I think it's about a 3 on the... Yeah, the story's about a 3. It's a disappointing dry hump because you're just like, that's nothing. but yeah, you're right about the sex. It's a 6.
Yeah.
Because it was sizzling. It was good.
What, I mean, well done. For the purpose and there was, of this you know, podcast,
a number of scenes, so it wasn't just like one off or something. It was 3 and nicely spaced at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she had grown up, it was no longer 8. Thank God.
Weird pedophilia aside, it's just... You know, it was a 6.
Anyway. All right, guys.
No, there was no sexual innuendo between the 8-year-old and the vampire.
Trust. No.
It's not what we're seeing.
No.
It's just like, it's like almost like watching a little sister grow up.
And then fucking.
And then fucking. It's just not good. It's not good.
He didn't watch her grow up. We have to make that caveat.
I guess that's true. He listened to her sort of.
He heard about her sometimes.
Growing up. All right, I'm just making excuses
We're just beating this dead horse.
Yeah, so on to our next book. Our next one is going to be a little special. We are going to read Lost in Amber by Esther Rabbit. And Esther is actually an author that's reached out to us before. She did an interview on us, and it's live on her blog. And you can find that at estherrabbit.com. Mm-hmm. And she talks about us, and she gave us a bunch of questions she asked us, and we answered it. And it's pretty cool. She's
It seems like she interviews... Authors, reviewers. So
books.
Just romance or all books?
I think it might be all.
Okay. Yeah. So she kind of like gets into how you choose to review books or, you know, mm-hmm. your process. So that was interesting. It was really fun to do that interview. And
Yeah,
so you guys should go read it. And then, she has written a book. We're going to read it for the next episode, Lost in Amber.
And we'll link the interview in our social media for you guys again so that you can go back to her. And we're going to try very hard to get her in an interview. If we can't do it within the recording, then we'll have questions we'll ask her that we can pop into, that we can talk about as we discuss the book on our next episode.
She is an expat, so she's abroad, and so it might be harder for us to schedule a Skype interview, but we're going to try. We're going to give it a shot.
But look forward to a lot more of these happening. We've got a lot of authors that that we're contacting and that seem interested in us and stuff, so we're super excited to be bringing them on. But for now, we'll just wait for Lost in Amber by Esther Rabbit that we're going to read on our own. It's not an audiobook.
No. It's a real book.
Real.
Well, it's
real words.
We're at like 2 hours.
That's bullshit. That is not right. No. Really?
No, we're not. He's lying to us. Body. We're all lying. It's only 6:30. We haven't been here since 4.
No way. We went like over our time. The library's, it's midnight. The library's closed.
All right, guys.
Should probably sign off.
We should say goodbye. We hope you come back. I know we've had 2 rough books, but I really swear we're going to turn it around. And if not, I don't know. We might have to quit the podcast.
It's not the first time we've had a dry spell.
That's true. We've had some rough patches. So if you want, reach out to us. Hey, give us a better book idea. Oh. If we're missing the mark, give us a better one.
I forgot we do this part.
Reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email. All of that is Sturdy Books. That's with 3 H's.
And go to our website at Shudder.
Don't do that. Don't follow that instruction.
Don't go there. All. That's a bad website. It'll take you to really bad stuff. Go instead to dirtybooks.com, and you can find us on any podcast platform.
Anywhere you download podcasts.
Anywhere you would find podcasts. Okay. All right. So this is Saylat.
And this is Kalina.
And we'll see you later. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylat. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy music and amazing introduction.